you know, when someone old like that, 92, passes away without any sign of harm, you usually wouldn't think of any foul play. But still, I have to say, I do wonder. I wonder.
My great uncle, Professor George Gammel Angel, died last year in San Diego. He was never married, had no kids. My mom was his closest living relative. She's back east, but I live about an hour away in Rancho Perdidos. So I volunteered to head down and deal with his estate. Not long after I got to town, Alma Da Costa got in touch with me. Professor Da Costa is a biologist, a friend and colleague of my uncle at UC San Diego, where he was a professor emeritus of linguistic anthropology. Alma said she was with Uncle George when he passed and thought I should know the real story of what happened.
George was very fit, active, in very good health for his age. He was vaccinated, triple booster for COVID. He always wore his mask on top of a second mask everywhere he went. He was very careful. We had gone out on a research vessel with some of my grad students. George was fascinated by the sea. He always said in another life he would have studied marine biology. It was a great trip. We dredged up some really interesting samples, nudibranchs, flatworms. And George was very animated. He was very excited about the things we were finding. When we get to the dock, you know, everybody gets out. And we see this man walking very fast past the students. And he doesn't stop. He's one of those people who just wants everybody to get out of their way, I guess.
Yeah. Yes, I know that kind of guy. That he assumes that everybody will move for him and goes in a straight line.
Exactly.
Tell me, what did he look like?
He was in shorts, polo shirt, baseball cap. A middle-aged Caucasian man, maybe 60 or 50 or 70, it's hard to tell. He was very tanned, like suntanned, even a little too much, you know, like these boat guys. You see them down there a lot, on their yachts, in the dock. They all look very similar. Anyway, he walks past the students, and then he bumps into George. Not very hard, but he bumps him. And he doesn't even stop. He says, excuse me, sorry, nothing like that. He just jumps onto his boat and drives away, this very large yacht. And then George collapses immediately.
Right after he was bumped? Just how long?
In about 10 seconds. And then I checked, and he was not breathing.
And so you're suspicious about this guy? I mean,
I don't know what to think. I told the police about this guy, and they didn't want to hear it. Of course, I understand. It seems hard to believe. It wasn't a very hard bump, but still, 10 seconds later, he was dead.
From Folk Process, we are Keeping the Bones, the podcast that reimagines and remixes classic weird tales and horror fiction into stories set today. I am your host, Jesse Keller. Today we're bringing you the first episode in a three-part series inspired by The Call of Cthulhu by H.P. Lovecraft. This is part one, The Horror in the Clay. Professor George Gammel Angel researched and taught linguistic anthropology at UCSD for more than 60 years. His work was considered foundational to that discipline, and after his death, the journal American Anthropologist ran a long obituary. I went to his house in La Jolla, a little old-fashioned California bungalow on a hillside overlooking the ocean, and found it jam-packed with papers, books, his old typewritten manuscripts. Not quite hoarder level, but it was a lot. And in his study, there was one small steel file cabinet that was locked. The only locked cabinet in the house.
I took out the keyring the coroner had given me, which had been in my uncle's pocket when he died. There were only 4 keys on it, and I already knew what 3 went to: the house, his old Volvo, and his office on campus. The 4th key was smaller. I tried it, and sure enough, it unlocked the steel cabinet. Inside were file folders stuffed with papers, a thumb drive, and in the very back, wrapped in newspaper, a flat chunk of rock. When I unwrapped it, I found that it was unfired clay. One side was covered with relief images, surrounded by some kind of characters that looked like writing, in an alphabet I couldn't identify. The relief showed what looked like a city, with dozens of blocky structures, and in the center was a figure, vaguely human in shape, but also vaguely dragon-like. Claws, bat wings, and a head that sprouted a mass of tentacles. I gave most of my uncle's papers and books to the UCSD library. I think some of them were even published posthumously. And most of the rest of his stuff was sold at the estate sale. But I hung on to the papers, the thumb drive, and the relief from the locked cabinet, and brought them home with me. The paper files were old newspaper clippings, Xeroxed documents, academic journal articles. Many were about incidents of violence and unrest all around the world in 2020 and 21. There were studies on the increase of mental health crisis rates during that time. I plugged the drive into my computer, and a strange name appeared. The drive was labeled Cthulhu Cult. On it were more files, screenshots, Word docs full of YouTube links. Most were short bits of research and notes on some of the internet's more arcane conspiracy theories that were cropping up around that time. And there were 2 subfolders. One was named Dreams and Dream Work of Khadijah Wilcox. The other, Narrative of LaGrasse. I opened the first folder and found a bunch of audio and video files labeled by date.
Oh, okay. I'm recording. It took me a minute to remember where I last... The old synapses don't fire like they used to, you know? Can you repeat the phrase?
The sounds?
The first video, dated December 11th, 2020, was a recording of a Zoom conversation between my uncle and Khadijah Wilcox, who was then an art student at UCSD.
Yes, please, the sounds, just like you heard them.
Well, like I said, it was almost not a sound, almost a feeling, like a vibration, but with syllables, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh. Now, what were they again?
Cthulhu Fatagen.
Cthulhu Fatagen.
Yeah.
And that was last night?
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me about the dream again?
It was a city, but massive. Huge towers and buildings, archways, staircases that were the size of cliffs. Everything was wet, covered with algae and foam and seaweed. And there were carvings on the walls. Bas-relief carvings.
And that was your inspiration?
I really wouldn't call it inspiration. I woke up and it was basically done. I had made the whole thing. Sleep sculpting, I guess. And then I heard, or felt, the voice.
Then you heard it? I thought it was in the dream.
Also when I was awake. Definitely. And I had just finished the sculpture. And then I heard, Cthulhu Fatagen.
In her video, Khadija is holding a small slab of fresh clay, still damp. I hit pause and got the bas-relief from my uncle's cabinet. They were identical. This was Khadija's work. It's stylistically her own, recognizably similar to other sculptures I've since seen of hers. But the subject is like nothing else she's ever made. Her work tends to show expressionistic views of a wide spectrum of female bodies in motion. She's inspired by dancers, athletes, delivery drivers, restaurant servers. Nothing like the tentacled, winged creature at the center of the image.
Does that phrase mean anything to you, Cthulhu, Chittagan?
No, I've never heard those words in my life.
You haven't heard it in a religious context?
Religious?
For instance, a ritual of some sort with other people?
No. No. Nothing.
Look, this is just, my interest is academic. And I promise you'll have total anonymity. I will tell no one it was you. I won't mention your name. But if you have any involvement in secret societies, underground groups...
Secret societies?
I will keep it completely confidential. That's... All right, then. All right, Khadija. Can I ask you to do something for me?
Maybe.
Hey there, everyone. I just wanted to break in here and say that when we reach the end of this three-part series based on The Call of Cthulhu, that's going to be the end of season one of Keeping the Bones. Like I've said, making this first season has been a labor of love and a ton of work from a lot of very talented people. If you want to help us get season two made and released as soon as possible, head over to keepingthebones.com and click on Follow and Support. You'll find links to our merch store, our virtual tip jar, and our Patreon account, where you can kick in $5 a month to get regular updates on our progress as we work on what's next. Thanks. December of 2020 was, as you may recall, a strange time. There was the immediate aftermath of the U.S. presidential election, COVID deaths were soaring, and on December 10th, there was an earthquake in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It was strong enough that tsunami warnings were issued all around the Pacific Rim, including in San Diego. The next day, December 11th, was when Khadija Wilcox emailed my uncle asking for a Zoom meeting and showed him her sculpture, which she claimed to have made the previous night while asleep and dreaming of a Titanic city. After their Zoom, at Professor Angel's request, she left the still damp clay bas-relief on his doorstep for further examination. Khadija graduated in 2022. She still lives and makes art in San Diego. I got in contact with her, and she was happy to talk about her interactions with my uncle.
It was really nice. Before the lockdowns, he used to come to all the art department exhibitions, which is where one of my professors introduced us. He said he liked my stuff, which was really nice.
So is that why you wanted to show that sculpture to him after you made it?
Yeah. I couldn't figure out where that weird image came from. It was from my dream, but it was so specific. I wondered if those letters were real letters or something I had seen somewhere. First, I set up a call with my advisor, and she reminded me of George and how his specialty was ancient languages.
And so what was it that he asked you to do after that first conversation?
He asked me to start keeping a record of my dreams. Basically, when I had a dream, as soon as I woke up, I grabbed my phone and recorded everything I could remember before it went away. He was really interested in the dreams.
It was in the city again. The city, it was so drippy. It was filled with algae and seaweed. It smelled like shit. Like, I had to, like, cover my nose for a second because it was just so bad. I saw the carvings. I heard the voice. Cthulhu. That's all I remember. I'm gonna try to go back to sleep. I heard it again. Cthulhu. It was everywhere. Cthulhu. Cthulhu Vatakan. Now there's another word. R. Hell yeah. The stones, those slimy, disgusting stones that everything was built of. They're so big. Each stone was the size of a house, and they fit together perfectly. These giant buildings, big as a mountain. Cthulhu Vatakanalia. Again and again. It's stuck in my head even when I'm awake. I almost feel like I hear it.
How long did you keep sending him the dream recordings for?
Till a little after New Year's 2021. Till I got sick.
On January 3rd, 2021, Khadija did not send Professor Angel her usual dream recording. For a few days, it appears that he tried unsuccessfully to get in contact with her.
I guess he eventually got in touch with my parents and they told him what had happened.
Which was what?
I was having some kind of episode, I guess is how they described it. At first, they thought it was a bad fever, COVID, of course, at that time. But there was no temperature, no fever, no other symptoms. I was just out of it. I don't remember any of it.
And George called during that.
My mom said he sounded really worried and that she asked me if I wanted to talk to him. And all I would say was he was a good person. I said that over and over. He's good. So she just propped up the phone on the coffee table, I guess.
The last video is dated January 7th, 2021. It shows Khadija lying on a couch while her mother sits nearby holding her hand. Khadija's sweating and her eyes look glazed over, staring into the middle distance.
How do we get out? I can't see how to. Stop! You're gonna fall! Wait, that's not down. It's up.
Did you know that he was recording at the time?
At the time, I didn't know anything. I was not aware of anything of my surroundings. But when it was over, he told me right away about it. He said he thought it was important to have a record of some kind. He was really serious about it, very concerned. He asked if he could file it away, and I said, yeah, that's fine.
And had you ever experienced like an episode like that before?
Never.
You know a lot about this, right? Can you get me out of here? Do you know how?
Why do you want to get out of there?
The smell, the slime, those weird pits, those openings in the walls. Can you get me out of the city?
I'm not sure what you...
Do you know where I am?
You are in Los Angeles, at your parents' house.
No. Not us. That's not what I... Do you know where I am?
I don't.
Oh, no. There it is again. It must be miles high.
What is?
Shit. There's nowhere to hide.
What's it like watching this now?
It's crazy. I was just so out of it. That was a bad time for me. And then one day, just like, poof, all better.
All better?
Yeah, I just sat up in bed and I was like, where am I? And after that, no more dreams, nothing. Just back to normal.
On the morning of January 10th, Khadija woke up with no recollection of the last week. She vaguely remembered the dreams she had reported to my uncle, but they now seemed like a distant memory, no longer so troubling. But Khadija wasn't the only one who had strange dreams during that time. My uncle's notes contained reports of dreams experienced by dozens of people between that December and January. Though they were all strangers to each other, their dreams bore inexplicable and disturbing similarities. It appears from his notes that shortly after Khadija Wilcox brought him the fresh clay relief and described the dream that inspired it, my uncle began reaching out to his large network of friends, colleagues, and acquaintances and asking them about their dreams as well. There were reports from scientists, artists, writers, business people. A large number of them reported trouble sleeping. There was even a study saying insomnia rates spiked dramatically that winter. And many people reported strange, recurring dreams. He even asked Professor DaCosta, his friend the biologist, about her dreams.
Yeah, I told him I had a lot of trouble sleeping during that time. And nightmares. I remember about being seeing some giant structure. But that's about all I remember, really.
In all the dreams Professor Angel recorded in his notes, people reported seeing giant buildings or hearing strange sounds. Some described it like Khadija did, like a city, but on a massive scale. The most detailed accounts of dreams seem to have come mostly from artists and other creative people. Some of these voices may be familiar to Keeping the Bones listeners. It was actually here, in my uncle's recordings, that I first heard Tess, the singer you heard in The Yellow Sign, Stephen from Lost Hearts, the aspiring painter, and Abby Watt, who produced Careful. My attempts to follow up with them are what led to those episodes.
This is the 10th night. I was in the city and I can't even say. It was just like dripping with shit. I gotta get up and try to paint.
It was massive. Like Sears Tower size. And I think it saw me. I just need to sleep. I don't know.
Those structures again. So much bigger than anything I've ever seen. And just wrong. Impossible. The shapes were... I can't really put it into words. I can still see it. I wish I couldn't. I wish I'd stop seeing it.
That last voice you heard belongs to an up-and-coming architect who is a friend of my uncle. They were in the final stages of a large, complex project when they began experiencing the dreams. Their behavior became erratic, and in a lawsuit filed by the client, they were accused of sabotaging the plans at the very end of the process. On January 1st, the same day Khadija Wilcox's episode began, they went missing. They were found on January 12th. In the desert outside of town. They had died several days before that of exposure to the elements. The rest of my uncle's notes in that folder consisted largely of news reports about acts of violence, disturbing events, and bizarre conspiracy theories. Some I had heard of, but most unfamiliar, that occurred or were first reported in December of 2020 and January of 2021. I asked Khadija if she had heard of any of these, or if my uncle had mentioned any of the other dream reports he was collecting, or anything about some disturbing events from the mid-2000s that were mentioned in the professor's files.
He never mentioned them to me.
But you can see that there's a lot of similarities, right, with your dreams. So do you think maybe you heard about that somehow?
That thing in, where was it? Florida. I really don't think I knew anything about it like I told him.
It would have occurred when you were very young.
No.
A number of people were killed found dead, I suppose. A lot of people.
Oh my God.
It wasn't widely reported, but I wondered if you had any connection to the Gulf Coast, Florida, anything like that?
No.
Next time on Keeping the Bones, we'll dig into what happened on the Gulf Coast of Florida in 2007 and the unsettling connections between those gruesome events and the dreams Khadija and others were having almost two decades later. And how, I now believe, they all might be connected to the quote-unquote accidental death of my uncle, Professor George Gamble Angel, on that boat dock just 9 months ago. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Keeping the Bones. This episode has been the first in a three-part series inspired by H.P. Lovecraft's classic story, The Call of Cthulhu. Today's episode featured the voices of Laura Gracie Corral, David McGrevy, Kamajia, Nate Ferguson, Abby Watt, and Dan Dupre. As I've said, if you've been enjoying Keeping the Bones and you want to help us make season two and release it as soon as possible, the best possible thing to do is to head to patreon.com and kick in whatever you can. It also helps us if you give us a good rating, subscribe, follow, and click any like button you see. And we'd really appreciate it if you just give us an analog share. Tell someone you know, hey, there's this new podcast called Keeping the Bones. I think you'd really like it. We'll be back soon with part two of this series.